Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You've heard us talk about DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, and how payday can come every day by entering their contest with huge cash prizes up for grabs.
Making a lineup on DraftKings adds excitement to every night and is simple to do. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. You feeling the sweat, Taylor?
I don't have air conditioning, so.
Oh, you are definitely feeling the sweat then. Well, every moment means more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to users across all sports. I would really love $7 billion. Even just like 700, but like 7 billion, that's a lot of goddamn money. DraftKings is the leader in daily fantasy sports, so there is no better place to get in on all the action.
Now that you know how to play, download the DraftKings app and sign up using promo code THPN. New users will get a free entry with their first deposit. That's code THPN to get a free entry with your first deposit, only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Straight Up Sabres, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network and Buffalo Fanatics. As always, I'm Brendan.
And I'm Taylor.
And Taylor, the big move that we were all waiting for to happen, Sabres fans everywhere, has finally happened. The team has acquired Vinny Hinostroza. Huge signing today. 1 year, just over $1 million. I mean, I'm ready to start talking about maybe winning the division next year.
You know, it's an interesting day that the Sabres acquired a guy named Vinny and my cousin, but they are two different people.
But not your cousin Vinny.
Right. I do have a cousin Vinny, but he lives in Indiana, so.
Not a hockey player, though, too.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Yeah, so it obviously isn't him.
Right. And, of course, the big news of the day, or lack thereof, is that at the time of us recording this, Jack Eichel has still not been traded. We're recording right now at about 6 o'clock Eastern time. The Sabres have not moved Jack Eichel. Most recently, we've heard from, I believe, Bob McKenzie had said on TSN that things have gone very quiet on that front. Earlier in the day, it seemed like Vegas was maybe going to be gearing up to make a move. Then there were some rumblings that Philip Deneau was going to go there, but then he ends up going to Los Angeles, which pretty much takes them out of the running for Eichel, seemingly.
A lot of money for Philip Deneau.
A lot of money, but he is very good. And then, you know, Vegas makes some other moves, trading for Evgeny Dadonov, which I thought was pretty confusing, to be honest. And now they are right up against the cap. I think they're under $1 million. They have under $1 million in cap space while still having to sign two RFAs, one of which I believe is Nolan Patrick, who they had just acquired. Minnesota reports then of them seemingly pulling out because of the price being too high. Anaheim still lingering, it seems like, but no official word whether they're fully in or out. And so at this point, we really don't have a whole lot of anything. And to be honest, neither do the Sabres, because a lot of guys left today. Jake McCabe signed by the Chicago Blackhawks on a four-year deal. We had just found out a little while ago that Linus Ullmark is going to division rival the Boston Bruins to be their new number one. The Sabres, in addition to signing Hinostroza, end up bringing back Drake Kagula. As you had mentioned before, they also made a move to re-sign former Rochester American and Western New York native Sean Malone. And most recently, the trade that had happened today, actually, which I will give, I don't get me wrong, I'm still salty about Ryan Hart. I'm mad that they haven't traded Eichel yet. But this trade for Will Butcher, I'm a pretty big fan of. I have to think you are too. The Sabres acquired Butcher and a fifth round draft pick for future considerations, which essentially means that they acquired him for nothing. And the Devils ended up retaining $1 million worth of salary for this year. So his cap hit, he currently was sitting at about like $3.3 million, I think. So that'll be just a bit over $2 million. At this point, they still have not had anything figured out in goal. Carter Hutton also signed with Arizona for whatever reason. So we're partying like it's 2014, baby. The tank off is back on. Sabres versus Coyotes. The Sabres saw the Coyotes sign a blind goalie. And you know what? They said, we'll do you one better. We're not even going to have a goalie next year. So we really don't know what's going to be happening on that front. Devin Dubnyk seems like a name that probably makes sense as a possibility. Maybe they look at Aaron Dell. Maybe, you know, maybe they let Dustin Tokarski run with it. Who really knows at this point? Goaltending, I'm not getting too bent out of shape on just because this team is not going to be competing next year. However, the clock is ticking on this Eichel deal. And I know people can say, oh, well, you know, they don't have to move him technically until his no movement clause kicks in next year, which is right at free agents at the start of free agency next year. However, this dude is not going to be on this roster opening night. And even if there was a possibility of that, I do not want that to happen because I don't want him to pretty much like pull a Kawhi Leonard in a sense where he could either potentially sit out or it's just going to be a lingering cloud over the younger players. I don't think that there's any scenario where, you know, I've seen some people point out like, oh, well, what if he comes back and he plays the first, you know, 20, 30 games the next season, kills it, and they trade him at the deadline. I don't think that's a realistic possibility for a number of reasons. One of which that I haven't even mentioned yet is the fact that not many teams are going to be willing to have like $10 million in cap space opened up at the trade deadline mid-season. So that's kind of why it felt like a deal right now would have made sense. Not to say that, you know, like I said, we could still potentially have this news break before this episode even gets released. But with that being said, though, it really would have made a lot of sense to do it before the draft. It would have made a lot of sense to do it before free agency. And, you know, now it kind of seems like we're trending towards a place where the Sabres are going to just let the dust settle and make a move from there. You know, it remains to be seen how much that's going to hurt a potential return or help even for that matter, potentially, not to be too pessimistic. But I'm not really feeling good about this right now. And I'm curious where your head is at, Taylor, with regards to Eichel and his eventual trade.
Well, if teams are really ready to move on and do their entire offseason without him and like basically set up their team for next year without really making the trade a priority, and if they're still hung up on his neck, then I don't know. If it really gets to a bad point, then you probably do have to bring him back next year, which is crazy. I mean, there's all these negatives that you obviously laid out, but it's like, it's that or take a bad trade that I bring him back for at least the beginning of the year. Like, it's not totally unprecedented. Joe Thornton got traded in the beginning of a season in, I believe, like November, December of 05. It's obviously much more common for if there's any really high salary guy that still has a lot of his prime left is going to get traded. It's usually in the off season. Like O'Reilly got traded on July 1st, the equivalent of today, 3 years ago. But I don't know. It's such a weird thing. I mean, I think to one point you made there, if there is a trade mid season next year, I don't think that the cap space will be a problem because the Sabres would be able to easily take on any big contracts the other team wants to dump. Now the other team has to have a contract.
That's the thing. That's very circumstantial.
It is. Yeah. But that means like, for example, if they're trading with Vegas, Vegas is dumping Riley Smith on us. Or, I mean, I don't know where else you go with that with other teams. It'd have to be case by case. Like, I mean, would the Kings want to dump Quick or Dustin Brown on us? Like, I don't know. Now that they've pretty much done their offseason, they don't need to trade for Eichel. I don't know. It doesn't look good, but I think things like this can change quickly. Who knows? Another team could emerge. Another team might look at this and go, wow, can we really steal Eichel right now? Who knows? I don't really know what these other teams' heads are at, but it's hard for me to see it happening very soon now, which is going to be annoying because it means it's going to hang over us. Even if it isn't currently hanging over the other people on the team. Like, I don't know how much a lot of them care if they know he's going to be gone anyway. But yeah, it's not good.
No, definitely not. I think one of the things that's really bothered me too throughout the whole discourse with all of this is that I understand that this neck injury is very serious. I mean, well, actually, I shouldn't even say that because we don't even really know the extent of it. I know that the potential of getting the procedure done is serious because it hasn't been done on another professional hockey player before. However, though, I don't know if I've ever been more convinced of a hypothetical in my life than I am of the Sabres trading Jack, getting a less than ideal return with all these people saying, oh, he's a liability. Oh, I don't know. You know, Rangers fans saying that they wouldn't trade like their fifth round pick last year because he's untouchable in an Eichel trade. That bullshit. But it just seems like such a lock that he's going to get traded next year, regardless of what the return is going to be. And he's going to light it up. Like, he's going to be back to his old self. And that's what really bothers me so much about this, is that these people who are talking about, you know, scoffing at the idea of trading a team's top prospect back for a guy who, forget being one of the top 10 centers in the league, who is one of the top 10 players in the league at full health. And this isn't somebody too who is, you know, 28, 29, 30 years old and they're over the hump. Like, Eichel is firmly in the middle of his prime. And even if it did take time for him to rehab from this neck injury, if you're going into it and maybe you have his medical records, whatever, like, you're going into this knowing that you have a plan and that you see a way forward to figure this out. So, like, if you're a team that's going to be trading for him, you're doing that because you have the mindset that, like, okay, we're going to be able to get him through this, or we agree with him on the surgery, we'll let him get it, or, you know, we don't think that he needs it and he'll agree with us, and maybe he's just doing this because he's trying to just get out of there. Regardless of that, like, we're talking about a guy who's 24 years old in the prime of his career. And again, I cannot reiterate this enough, who is a top 10 player in the NHL when he's healthy. And, you know, I was watching TSN's coverage earlier and they brought up a really good point about Jack Eichel. Taylor, how many pure number one centers do you think that there are in the NHL? Not like guys who are the number one center for their team, but somebody who is a bona fide, pure, straight up number one center. Maybe like 12, 13, maybe.
Like, you're talking about guys like Eichel, you mean?
Yeah, like, of that stature where it's like, you are an undeniable number one center. Like, Philip Deneau, he's going to Los Angeles right now. He'll, they have Kopitar already, but, like, he's not, like, a number one center. Like, there are teams that, like, don't have – like, Vegas is a perfect example. William Karlsson, even though he's their second-line center, or their first line center, what's his name? The guy who –
Chandler Stephenson.
Like, that is not a first-line center. There's a lot of teams in the league that don't have that. And not even to say of like Eichel's stature, but just generally speaking in that mold, there's no more than 15. Like, half the teams in the league do not have that guy.
Right.
So when a guy like that becomes available, it's insane to me that we're at this point now that we're having to be like, oh, well, Trevor Zegras isn't even an option. Like, there's no way. Or Quentin Byfield, that's not even an option. Because at the end of the day, a guy like Zegras and a guy like Byfield, who are the two, like, pie in the sky, probably top options that the Sabres could realistically get in return, them hitting their absolute peak performance, peak of whatever their potential is Jack Eichel. So it's insane to me that there's this just posturing going on and this hesitation happening. And I get it, like, with the neck injury, I understand that, but I don't know. Do you really think that this guy's career is going – oh, do we have something happening?
We got news. The Sabres have signed Mark Pisick to a one-year contract.
Get the fuck out of here. Are they really?
Yeah. Let's see. For $900,000.
Wow. All right. I'm fine with it. I mean, I guess they're signing a lot of defensemen. They need forwards, but like both Mark Pisick lovers back in the day.
Now I think they're filled out, right? Basically, their defensive court.
They're like, done now. Oh, they have to be done now. I can't imagine.
With non-two-way guys, because it's going to be Dahlin, Jokiharju, Miller, Robert Hägg.
Butcher
and Pesek. And then you have, like, Bryson and Samuelson as your two-way guys.
Yep.
And Matt Irwin is maybe a two-way guy. We'll see.
Wow. I cannot believe that they brought back Mark Pesek. That's great. I'm not even, like, excited about what he could bring to the team. It's just more so, like, the name. I'm just I'm really all about it. It's just funny. It's great that they brought him back. That's great. Wow. Good for him. Mark Pesek, yeah. Welcome back. I can't wait. I really liked him a lot when he was with the Sabres too. I was at the game actually that he scored the butt goal.
Oh, really?
Arizona. Yeah, I was there.
So I was at Potter's Field, lovely establishment in South Buffalo, South Buffalo, West Seneca border. And after the game, a member of the Coyotes came to the bar. It was Tim Kennedy.
Oh, get out of here.
Bishop Timing graduate. Yeah. Anyway, so that's a decent signing. All right, so the defense is done. Forwards, I don't know what to think here.
Yeah, I get it. And also one last thing on Pesek too. A great follow, by the way, on Twitter for anybody who doesn't already follow him already. JFresh Hockey is like excellent chart dude who does a really, really great job. He actually just posted Pesek's minutes or his charts from last year and did not get a lot of minutes. However, in the minutes that he got, though, he was really, really solid. His WAR was a 70, he has 77% there. Goals 60, 97%. Yeah, I mean, like, it's, you know, he's obviously not the kind of guy that's going to drive play or anything like that, but he's just like a really solid, steady defenseman in his own zone, which is fine. Like, that's the kind of guy that realistically you kind of need for some of the defensemen that we have on this team, for some of the younger guys. So,
yeah, this is nice.
I'm with it. I'm with it. That's great. Wow. This is wow. Look at us getting to find out news. I literally thought you were going to say something about Eichel at first. I was like, you got to be kidding me that we're going to be finding this shit out while we're recording right now.
No, nothing with Eichel yet. Yeah, Pizik. Yeah, solid. And that was one of the first things that made me doubt Tim Murray was the Pizik trade.
Yep.
And then it made all the worse by Kulikov basically breaking his butt and not being good that whole year and then being able to walk in free agency and then us not really seeing Rasmus Asplund until this year.
Right. Right. So, oh, that's pretty neat. I'm happy about that. I'm glad that he's back. He'll get, he's got to only be what, 30, 29?
Yeah, I would say somewhere around there. I think he was the first round pick in 2010.
Yeah.
Which would make him, probably 29 going
good
into
for
this
him, man. I'm like very happy about this. Again, I don't expect that he's going to have anything like of a crazy impact because the team we know is going to be bad next year. But for, you know, filling out the rest of the D, having some of the younger guys insulated a little bit, I think Pesek is a nice pickup.
Yeah, this is a nice time. All right. So,
wow.
Okay. So a couple
this is
other
how
things.
Bad things are right now. This is the state of the Sabres right now that we fucking signed Mark Pesek and we're like, oh, sick, cool.
Yeah. So this is wild. So the interesting thing with this Will Butcher thing, I don't think we've talked about him too much yet, but you kind of said that you're happy about it. So yeah. the Devils needed to do this to facilitate the cap room for Dougie Hamilton. How cap strapped are the Devils?
I mean, they just signed him to 9 years or a $9 million deal. I mean, AAV. I mean, that's a lot of money tied up in your blue line. I don't know what other deals they have, but I mean, I think they spent like 4.5 on Bernier today, which is a pretty good number.
Wait, really? Oh my God. Man. I didn't see that.
2 years, 4.5 million. Yeah.
I'm just surprised because they have like no veterans. Like they traded Zajac and Palmieri. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they're just eager to get rid of Will Butcher that they're going to hold on to 1 million. I don't know. That's interesting. Also,
I was also surprised too, though, for that matter, that the New Jersey Devils retained money. Like, I feel like I would have rather they didn't retain anything and we get like a fourth instead of a fifth. Because why would Buffalo need money retained when we're going to be struggling to get to the cap floor?
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Why do they need money
retained? I don't know. I don't really quite get
it. I don't understand. So, okay, so I'm thinking about the forwards on this roster with even without Eichel right now. They still actually kind of have a decent amount of forwards from last year. I mean, I assume, well, a decent amount, not anything to fill it out yet. So I'm kind of curious how they're going to fill out the roster to get to the cap floor with these forwards. You know what I mean? Like,
I have no, I mean, Taylor, it's a great question to ask because when you think about, I mean, we've talked about this just, I think on here, but even like offline too, you need to get like a first line center and not, you know, as I'm saying with like how Jack, but like somebody to play first line center. whether that comes from somebody who's still available in free agency, or maybe it's like a bigger veteran contract that you bring back in an Eichel trade, you need to have somebody to fill in that role. So I have to think that that would probably take up a decent chunk of change, because again, Cousins and Mittelstadt need to be rolling as 2 and 3 C and not being bumped up to playing outside of where they're both ready to be at right now.
I'm looking at this. No, they, if they wanted, they actually have 12 forwards from last year that they could fill out a lineup with. Now I wouldn't fit like maybe handed wise and center and all that stuff, but like they have 12 forwards under contract from last year. Correct me if I'm wrong on any of these guys, and I'm not counting Eichel. Gergensen's, Oposo, Asplund, Bjork, Casula, Cousins, Eakin. Sorry, scroll down a little bit. Casey Mittelstadt, Olofsson, Ruotsalainen, Jeff Skinner, and Tage.
Yeah.
Thompson. That's 12 forwards they have under contract. So where is the rest of this money coming? $20 more million.
That's a hell of a question. Hell of a question.
And like, and also like, if you have another forward, who is dropping to the extra spot? Who's sitting in the press box? Tage? That's fine with me.
Eakin has to be. It's got to be Eakin. Like,
yeah. Is Tage two-way, by the way?
No, no. He has he had that 3-year, $1.4 million deal he signed before last season.
All right. Yeah. Right. Cool. so... Yeah, Eakin obviously will be, he'll probably be in the box quite a bit. Or maybe they'll, I don't know, maybe they'll get rid of him somehow. Maybe he'll just go on waivers.
That'd be nice.
Man. All right. So, Allmark, that's the other guy. He's in Boston now. And yeah. I didn't find out till today. I didn't hear about this. The Tuukka Rask is out for the first few months of the season. So, Allmark will probably be their starter, at least at the beginning. And then in the future, I guess he's their projected future starter because they gave him 4 years, $5 million. I wanted no part of that. Obviously, I'm fine with giving Omar whatever for 2 years, since these 2 years salary cap won't be a consideration, really.
Oh, wait, but, I have horrible news for you, Taylor. Horrible news.
What's that?
So sorry to report that it was just announced that Matt Irwin has joined the Capitals. So your favorite defenseman will not be here next season to take up a roster spot.
Well, you know, you don't really get over these things. You just kind of get through them.
Anyway, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
So Allmark, I think I was like, yeah, sure. You could throw him 2 years, $12 million. That's too much AAV, but it doesn't matter. It's only coming out of the Pagula's pockets, and they got to get to the floor anyway to see what he is, you know, a little bit more of finding out about him. Because Allmark, it feels like he's been around forever because he has, but he has never started half of their games in a season. Last year, he started about half, considering that the season got cut short. But so he came up as a 22-year-old when Leonard got hurt in 2015-16 and played 20 games, played one game the next year, 5 games the year after that, and then 37, 34, and 20. Now this year he would have been the starter, but he was hurt for a lot of that time. So he's played in 112 games, sorry, started 112 games, played 117, and he has a .912 save percentage. I would be a little bit concerned if I was a Bruins fan, just like I was earlier today about the Sabres giving him 4 years or more. I don't know. I would, yeah. Like we praised him a lot this year, but this was his best year and he got hurt twice in a shortened season. Like,
it's a legitimate concern.
It is. And I mean, some people like Micah Blake McCurdy just tweeted out a thing that over the last 3 years, he's actually saved almost 9 goals under expected, which makes him a fairly average goalie. That sounds like a lot of goals, but consider 3 seasons worth of games. That's, what did I just say? 34, 37, and 20. It's like 90 something games. So, okay. Every 10 games he allows a goal he shouldn't. So that's not bad. It's average, but paying $20 or $20 million for his average goalie is a little bit exorbitant, especially one that seemingly there's no proof that he can stay on the ice.
Right.
Now here's the problem. I think there's a problem. You might agree with this. They don't have a goalie.
Ooh, yeah, that's a little bit of an issue.
I think they should have a goalie. I've always been big fan of having a goalie.
I would probably agree. I mean, at this point, though, if we're just like trying to get Shane Wright this year and then go for Bedard next year, why not just roll it with six skaters out there, you know? What do you have to lose other than losing?
Yeah, I mean, I guess like 60 games.
Yeah.
Or more.
I mean, I'm saying 70, but yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So they're in a weird spot. There's been a lot of movement with goalies today already. So a lot of guys are gone. They're off the market, and the guys that are on the market are not very appealing.
Evan Dubnyk, baby.
Yeah. That's honestly one of the better options right now. Say, you know, if they can't trade, I mean,
I'm going to call it. Aaron Dell is going to be the starting goalie for the Sabres next year. You heard it here first, folks. I'm calling it. Aaron Dell.
Do you think Vanacek's available now? We tweeted this from the account.
From our account earlier.
Actually, yeah, but
I mean, Jesus, I would hope so. What are they going to do? They can't keep him. There's no way. You have Grubauer and Dreiger there. You have no reason to keep him there. No reason. Yeah,
he's got value, but they might be stupid enough to just put him in the AHL. Like, they've made some not good decisions so far.
But that's why the Sabres need to be all over that, though. Like, there's no reason why the Sabres should not be the number one team in on that. No reason.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is just, like, such a high upside move that could end up panning out so well for you. Like, it would be foolish to not. I will legitimately be mad if another team gets him, because it's not going to be a high price. He's only played half a season in a COVID season, and he's young, like, and he's a goalie. So it's not like the cost could be that much that somebody's going to outbid you. Like, does a third round pick get it done next year? I mean,
I don't see why not.
I do that. I would definitely do that.
Absolutely. I mean, Vanacek, he looked solid against us. Mm-hmm. I know everyone did, but he was one of them. So it's going to be an interesting year, I think, because I assume the Sabres get two bad goalies for the NHL. And then maybe they stick with Tokarski in the AHL with UPL. But I tweeted a prediction, not from our account earlier, that I think is less of a prediction and more of like a worst case scenario for this year, I think. Okay. I don't know if you saw this. So my thought is the Sabres get two bad goalies. I tweeted that before every good goalie was gone or every decent goalie was gone. So first part of the prediction is looking correct. UPL looks just okay in Rochester, not enough to get excited about. So everyone turns their attention to Eric Portillo. And they're like, look at this guy. He has like a 935 at Michigan. But then, so everyone's hyped.
The college hockey version of the dream team.
Yeah. But then there's a small group of people, you know, miserable people like me, who are like, are you sure he's good? Because he's basically playing on an NHL team.
I mean,
people are going to be like, shut up. That's stop being so negative. And then he's not going to be good.
Well, we'll see. I mean, who knows, though? Maybe Beniers ends up playing in Seattle. Maybe Kent Johnson makes Columbus off the bat.
Maybe Owen Power plays here. I guess it's good. Not impossible.
Not out of the realm of possibility. He's pretty powerful. I'm so sorry, everybody. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm just looking for a way out of this podcast for next year. That's really awesome. I'm just going to make corny jokes about people's names.
Okay, so let's see what else happened today. I mean, is anything else happened with the Sabres?
No, not really. It was mainly just other teams. They really didn't do much. They were pretty inactive today, which is unsurprising, but also disappointing for sure.
What about your good pal Tony D'Angelo? Finally getting the sixth chance he deserves.
Oh, I know. You know, they say he's a changed man now, that he's changed his ways. And he had said something that it was like, you know, his competitive spirit made him act the way he was, like how when he would pretty much, you know, be like openly racist and sexist. It's, yeah, you know, when you can give an entitled little prick an eighth chance, you simply have to do it. You know, when you can bring in somebody who was literally kicked off of his last team for what a piece of shit that he was, you got to do it, you know?
So
just masterclass by the Canes there. That's really great. And I think
trash.
It's a nice reminder that even if you've had moments where you've wanted to soften up on them, you shouldn't.
No,
shouldn't at all.
So this is why I'm going to take a very, very late victory lap. I was right about the Eric Staal trade. Everyone was like, no, he has more value than Marcus Johansson. Sure. He does. To me, he has negative value, but I mean, can people not see this coming from a mile away? Like, sure, Johansson was useless. Eric Staal was useless when he was in Buffalo. He was completely useless. He was completely washed. I mean, it's not out of the ordinary to think a guy that's like 38 is all of a sudden like going to look worse when he's playing on, you know, especially coming here of all places.
That's true.
And then what happened? And then he went to Montreal, and everyone's like, oh, I wish him well. What the hell? I mean, like, you can't be like, oh, get over Carolina. It was 15 years ago. You can't say that when nothing of importance has happened since, save for Ottawa in 2007. You can get a little bit mad about Boston in 2010 and hurting Vanek, and maybe a little bit mad at 2011, them blowing the series in game six against the Flyers. Besides that, I mean, this is a whole lot of forgettable nothing that's going on here for like a decade. Mm-hmm. So that's what we still have to be mad at. That's when it was worth getting mad about things.
Absolutely.
And that team like legitimately cost us a chance at the Stanley Cup. You can be mad for the rest of your life. People are still mad about the Cowboys and the Giants.
That is, I had seen a couple of people recently talk about this and refer to like the 06 team. I don't think it's off base to say that, like, even though like in 99, like they made it to the Cup before, the 06 team was the most likely team to win a Stanley Cup for sure. I think in Buffalo Sabres history, like that team, I think was the most primed to do it for sure.
You think more than the team that was in game six overtime?
I do, because they were significantly better. That team was literally the only reason that they were there was because of Hasek. That, and so that's the thing. Like, if the Sabres don't have those injuries on defense, if Connolly is still there, they waltz to a Stanley Cup easily. Yeah,
but at what
point? They dog walk Carolina. I wholeheartedly believe that.
So at what point, though, did they have the highest probability to win the Cup in 06? And would you say that's higher probably than after, being in overtime in game six of the Stanley Cup?
Listen, I don't disagree, but I still think that in terms of just talent and then also the road to get there, if that team were to be healthy, I would take – I'll put it this way. This is probably the best way for me to put the point I'm trying to make in my head. If that team in 06 is fully healthy – I would take them, knowing that they would stay healthy through the remainder of the playoffs, I would take that from round one of the playoffs all the way through, then I would take a do-over of the entire series against Dallas. I'm that confident in that team.
If you're going to do the entire series as a do-over, then yeah, I would say, the thing, and especially if you give the other team health. Yeah.
Well, that entire team gets a do-over, or they get a do-over on that series, but the Sabres in 06 would have a redo of the entire playoffs. And I would still take that, like, for sure. I would rather take 05-06 Sabres at the start of the playoffs fully healthy than I would take the 99 Sabres in game one of the Stanley Cup Finals on.
This is, you know, the most interesting wrinkle here is Ottawa, because Ottawa should have won the Cup that year, but Hasek got hurt. And he's evolved again, obviously, in 06. And if he didn't get hurt at the Olympics, I think Ottawa will, like, walks to the Stanley Cup and maybe even wins again the next year, and they keep hashing. But that's not really the what if here to me. The what if here is that Ottawa team that I think it's probably the best team in the East that year, but they lost to us because Emery was so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, they had some overtime stuff. They went overtime in games one and three. So I don't. That's kind of the holdup for me, because there's no reason that they wouldn't beat Philadelphia again.
Well, and that's also not taking into account anything, because, I mean, looking back, I don't necessarily know this off the top of my head, but any injuries with, like, Dallas or who the Sabres may have been missing in 99, too. So, like, that's obviously all circumstances. I guess I'm trying to just say that, like, I really think that team, and maybe it's just me holding on to my youth and nostalgia, but that was the team to do it for me. I still look back and like that. I don't know if I will ever get over that until the day that the Sabres won a Stanley Cup, because they far and away, I mean, they would have beaten Carolina, I don't think, without any question. And they would have steamrolled Edmonton. Like that wouldn't have even been close. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't
know how so he got the thing here. That really bothers me about Carolina is that when they got to the Cup, they faced Edmonton. So that's like, that should be an easy one. That Edmonton's one of the long line of teams that got there with a hot goalie. And then the goalie wasn't hot in the Cup, but that's different because they just hurt Dwayne Rolison in game one. I don't even remember the guy's name who had to step in for Rolison, honestly, but he completely blew game one for the Oilers. And then it went to game seven, which is very annoying. I mean, that Oilers team is, again, it's one of the worst Cup teams ever. It's,
oh, yeah.
It's right there with this year's Montreal.
Did you see our interaction on Twitter from a couple of days ago with a follower of ours who made me feel older than I think I've ever felt in my entire life?
What do you say?
I had tweeted in response to the Hurricanes signing Tony D'Angelo. I had said, as if we needed more reason to hate the Hurricanes. And great sport. Thanks, Josh, very much. Josh Civiletti is his name. He's a follower of ours. He said, why would we hate the Hurricanes? And I responded 2005, 2006. This man responds, oh, I'm too young.
Wow. Well,
that ruined me. I like just started like laughing my ass off when I saw that response, because I was like, wow, I'm 27 years old, but I probably should go get my AARP card now. Like I'm done. My life's over.
Too young.
Too young for 2005, 2006.
Then why do you like the Sabres?
What are you? Yeah, Josh, are you okay, man? Are you good? I
mean, what got you in here? What got you in the door, pal? Because my first year they made the cup, and then they made the playoffs the year after, and then they like were a, I don't want to say what away. Let's say an arm hair away from making the conference finals in the third year I watched. And then some bad stuff happened. They almost got bought and moved. And then they got bought by a guy that kept him here, and they got really good. And then, you know, I don't know. Let's not get into what happened after that.
Yep.
So
enter the chat too.
Yes. Good to see you, Z.
Joined us.
But yeah, so it's such a, such an interesting time. Cause looking back, like that was a really good window for them, like really post lockout.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes I have takes that make people like furious, because like not this take, obviously the Sabres could, in the way things are going by the conference finals, they should have won in 06, you know, but that's drawing a very specific point in time, like at the beginning of the conference finals or late in the second round, at this point they should win. Whereas you could just draw further back in time, like I just did, and like what if Hasek didn't hurt here? That stuff like that. But you could also say in 06, 07, even though the Sabres won the President's Trophy, that they were really only the fourth best team. And they were just like the hottest that year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when they got beat by Ottawa in the playoffs, they got beat. Maybe it shouldn't have been in five games, but they got outplayed.
Right.
And then when you look at the Western Conference Finals, well, I mean, look at the Stanley Cup. Ottawa got murdered that Stanley Cup by Anaheim. And Anaheim had played a much better, much closer series in the Conference Finals against Detroit.
That's true.
I think had one fewer point than us.
Yeah. No, that's very true. Very true.
But, you know, I mean, it was a fun year. I had fun.
Yeah, that's what
it was kind of thing. It was like, if Miller got hot, it wouldn't have been weird at all if they won the cup in 07, even though 06 was a better chance.
No, I completely agree with that. Yeah, I think you, for the most part, have good takes, by the way. Just wanted to add that in there.
Yeah, well, what's a better take I could have? The real star of that team was Clark MacArthur.
Ooh, give me more. Give me more,
No, the take that I had like 7 years ago that gets so much better with age. This is a take that I'm proud of. It's not a take that's going to make it made people mad when I first had it, but now it doesn't. They should have kept Campbell more than Drury. And keeping Campbell would have been as important as keeping Briere.
Yep. Wholeheartedly agree with that one. Definitely. Knowing what we know about careers, yes.
Oh, yeah. It took forever for people to go like, oh, actually, it was good they didn't sign Drury. Because right. He fell off a goddamn cliff. I mean, unless their goal was to win, like, too. Yeah. But I mean, unless their goal was to win, like, right away in, like, 08. And that's tough, because those 08 Red Wings were serious. And that's when Pittsburgh got good. It would have been, I mean, the window was short.
Yep.
But it could open back up again. And I think the person opened it up is Vinny, whatever his last name is.
Vinny, welcome to Buffalo, baby. We're happy to have you here.
You know what? I just realized that when I was reading all those names, I didn't even include him. So that's a 13th forward.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So that's and Sean Malone. And he'll be in Rochester.
He'll be in Rochester. Now. Moves will have to be made, though. That is.
Yeah.
Sure. That is
Vinny, sure. Though. You know what? I actually looked at, because I don't know. I didn't know anything about him before they signed him. But I looked through his, like, I mean, just going off point totals, he's like, he's not bad. It's a better signing than like Shane or
at like 0.5 points per game. Like, that's not terrible.
Yeah. I mean, last year wasn't a good year, but before that, and he's still young, so it's not like he's falling off a cliff, but last year was probably tough for a lot of people. But yeah. Anyway.
Well, Taylor, any last thoughts to share then before we call it a day?
I might have a recommendation on Sunday. We'll see. Monday for the listeners.
I will have one now, actually, a little recommendation / shameless self-plug. If you're in Buffalo and you're looking for something fun to do on Friday night, my band is playing at Thin Man Brewery on Elmwood at 10 o'clock. Come say what's up. And if you come up to me and say hello, Taylor, you will potentially be there, I believe, right?
Yeah.
if you come up to Taylor and I and say, hey, how's it going? I listen to the podcast and I'm here because I heard this on the podcast. We will buy you a drink.
Yes. Brendan will buy you a drink.
I will.
No, I'm just kidding. It depends who you say hi to first, though.
Yes. Yeah, no. But offer is on the table and I will hold out my end of the bargain, whether a drink or a shot. If you show up and you're listening to this right now, come hang out with us. It'll be cool. A bunch of people will be out. It'll be a great night. A lot of fun. Come check it out. But yeah, well, everybody, like we had said before, we will see. You could be listening to this and this will be totally out of date because Jack Eichel may be traded. Who knows? We'll see. Hopefully there'll be plenty more to come though in the coming days. But as Taylor mentioned before, we will be back with a new episode on Monday. Make sure you're checking out the Hockey Podcast Network and Buffalo Fanatics as well for all of your NHL offseason and NFL offseason coverage. Bill's getting their season started, so make sure you're checking out Buffalo Fanatics and make sure you're keeping up with the Hockey Podcast Network and all of our fellow podcasts to keep up with everything that's been going on in free agency and with trades over the past 24 hours. Make sure you're also checking out DraftKings as well. If you are a DraftKings user, make sure you use our promo code THPN to get exclusive deals on whatever it is that you're looking to make bets on. We'll be back again, as we had said before, with a new episode on Monday. Thank you all so much for tuning in. This has been Straight Up Sabres.